next month on the 2nd and 4th, Mondays at 6 to 7 p.m. Again, you can always call in live at 313-285-9567. You can go to the WNUC website and look for information or listen to my previous shows. Everyone, it's a beautiful night here in Detroit. Enjoy the evening, and I'll see you next time.
WNUC LP 96.7 FM, Detroit.
This is Peace Talks Radio, the series about peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. I'm series producer Paul Ingalls with Sarah Holtz. Long before the United States became a nation and implemented American democracy as we know it today, there were town meetings. By the 17th century, a constellation of small towns had spread across New England, each with its own assembly of citizens that would convene, deliberate, and make decisions together. Nearly 400 years later, the town meeting tradition has endured in New England, though with each passing decade, towns are seeing a steady decline in participation. On this episode of Peace Talks Radio, correspondent Sarah Holtz brings us a conversation about conflict resolution through the lens of town meeting. We'll hear from four individuals who actively participate in their own town meetings. Our first guest is Peter Ashton, who served as his town's selectman for 9 years and just ended his tenure as the town moderator of Acton, Massachusetts, which is located northwest of Boston.
I was the elected town moderator for 5 years, and before that I had been essentially the assistant for about 3 years.
I wonder if you could describe the town of Acton for those who have never been to this part of Massachusetts.
Sure. Well, Acton is second only to Concord and Lexington in terms of history, dating back to the Revolutionary War days. The famous battle in Concord was actually led initially by Minutemen from Acton, not from Concord, which is something that very few people know. So it's something we're very proud and we remind people from Concord about all the time.
Do you happen to know if for the whole time that Acton has been a town, have they always held town meetings?
Yes, in fact, Acton became a town. It separated itself from Concord in 1735, and it had its first town meeting in 1735 and has had continuous annual town meetings ever since.
Next, we meet Jessamine West. She's a librarian and community technologist in the town of Randolph, which is located at the geographic center of Vermont. Jessamine occupies several civic roles in Randolph, one of which brings her front and center on each election day.
I'm an elected justice of the peace, which means that every 2 years I kind of run for elections. And being a justice of the peace means, I think what people know it as, is that you can perform weddings. But it also means that you're kind of automatically a notary if you want to be a notary, so you can notarize documents. It also means that I serve on the Board of Civil Authority and the Board of Abatement, which are both two kind of peer boards. So if you're somebody in town and like your shed burned down, but you're still getting taxed for your shed, you can go to the board and be like, this isn't fair. So it's very like rah, 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 kind of taxi stuff. And so I also, I staff the polls during elections. So during elections, I'm like an official person who checks you in or checks you out or counts the ballots. So it's always very interesting to see democracy in action.
Jessamine West is a librarian and community technologist in Randolph, Vermont. There's an old political insult that still occasionally comes up today. It goes, you couldn't get elected dog catcher. Well, in 2018, NPR ran this story, which took that joke to task.
Zeb Towns, my name, short for Zebulon, and I am the elected dog catcher in Duxbury.
Town is truly one of a kind.
Do you know if you're the only elected?
I am the only elected dog catcher. All the other ones are appointed.
In Vermont or?
United States.
Amy Kolb Noyes reported this story for Vermont Public Radio, where she's been covering town meetings for decades. Here, Amy explains how she approaches her job when town meeting day rolls around each year.
So much of what happens at town meeting is mundane. It's voting in a school budget, and it's voting in a town budget that covers the highway department and the town clerk's office and things like that. So every town has that sort of laundry list of things that need to be done. But then some towns have quirkier things going on, so I tend to look for that.
Quirky or not, each decision at town meeting warrants careful deliberation. Our fourth and final guest, Susan Clark, has written extensively on local decision-making. Susan currently serves as the town moderator of Middlesex, Vermont, and in 2012 she co-wrote a book called Slow Democracy.
The idea behind Slow Democracy is it's a spin on the slow food movement, where people who appreciate slow food say, you know what, our fast food has just gotten way too far from the source, and it's way too processed, and we should be doing better to, have food that is locally created, and we can know the growers, and then we'll understand the food better and eat better, and eating is an agricultural act, and let's be connected to that. Slow Democracy kind of says the same thing about our decision making. We should be able to be involved in our decisions. We should understand where the proposals came from and then what is our role in moving them forward. With Slow Democracy, we really see our connection to our decision making.
Now that we've heard a bit from each of the experts on our panel, we're going to dive into a discussion about conflict resolution and civic capability at town meeting. To begin, Susan Clark debunks a few common misconceptions about the town meeting tradition.
A lot of Americans hear the word town meeting, and these days a lot of people use the word town hall meeting, and so they will think of a time when, a politician, will gather people together and say, we're going to talk about healthcare, and it's a town meeting on healthcare, or a town meeting on, whatever, and it basically means that the politician is going to roll up their sleeves and maybe sit on a stool. And other than that, it's just like a meeting, where people kind of sound off. New England town meetings are something very, very different from that. They're actually the legislative branch of the local government. So we have a select board that's the executive branch, like the president, is the executive and the legislature is the legislative at the national level or the state level. At the town level, we have this executive body that meets throughout the year, but the legislative body is anybody who shows up at town meeting who's a voter.
Again, Peter Ashton.
The ground rules of town meeting are very important. It's critically important that we have civil discourse in town meeting. And obviously these days that gets harder and harder because people are very opinionated. They're used to going on their Twitter accounts and saying pretty much whatever they want to. And we don't allow that at town meeting. Town meeting has a long storied history backed up by legal cases that say you cannot be critical of other town meeting members. You can be critical about issues. You can say, I believe this is the right way to do things, or I believe this is not the right way to do things. But you are not permitted to say, Mr. Smith over there is dead wrong and, he should shut up or something like that. That is strictly not permitted.
I think I've been town moderator about 15 years or so. It's elected every year. So, you never know from year to year if you're going to get reelected. But I think town moderators tend to, if you do a good job, people tend to stick with them. And I've really enjoyed it. I see it as almost like a convening and hosting job as much as other people will say, it's part referee, bar bouncer, lots of different roles. But I think my main job is to really welcome people into the process.
I'm really there to literally moderate the discussion, make sure it stays on a high plane and on topic.
Peter Ashton and Susan Clark there. Now again, public radio reporter Amy Kolb-Noyes.
I think one of the most remarkable things about town meetings is how much they don't change, actually, to be honest with you. Town meeting happens in Vermont in early March. So we are just starting to break out of winter here. And a lot of people, that means they've been cooped up all winter. It's hard to get around for some people in the wintertime here. So one of the biggest things about town meeting is the social aspect to it. And that never changes.
Here again, Susan Clark.
I mean, recent years, we certainly have, I'm going to just say, we have worse modeling at the national level, in the media, for how to do deliberation, or even just how to talk about stuff. We don't have great models for civility. for active listening, for tolerance and bringing together, co-creating solutions. I find we still have good skills at the local level, but they're challenged every day by what we hear and see in the media. So I think our deliberation can get a little more shrill and more divisive. The other thing when I say media, I also mean social media, because a lot of what we see online is, relatively anonymous commenters and, people just kind of, flaming, throwing out their beliefs that they had at 11 o'clock one night when they were, ticked off by some, meme they saw, which is very different from sitting next to your neighbor. And you both serve together on the fire department, or, both your kids are on the same soccer team, or, whatever it is, and you are disagreeing on something fundamental, that's a person you're going to have to look in the eye. And when you leave the meeting and you're driving home that night and your car skids into a snowbank, who's going to pull you out? So neighbor to neighbor, face to face, what tends to happen is that we maintain some of that old-fashioned civility through those face-to-face encounters, year in and year out, decade in and decade out, and frankly, century in and century out, because these New England town meetings have been going on since before the United States was the United States. And what we see is that New England, social capital, the civic skills, that tolerance, reciprocity, volunteerism, all those qualities that make, abutters into neighbors, all those community qualities are quite strong in places that have a town meeting tradition. And we can't say cause and effect, but there's good, data to show us that there might be a relationship between how we govern ourselves year in and year out and how we live together.
To what degree are the town's demographics represented at town meeting?
Well, it's really interesting.
Town of Randolph, Justice of the Peace, Jessamine West.
Because it's in person, right? So you have to be able to go. Historically, town meeting is on a Tuesday. Historically, way back in the day, you do your farming in the morning, and then everybody would go to town meeting, or your job, everybody in town would get the day off to go to town meeting. So of course, you'd get as many people as you could, right? Kids were in school, so parents could go, theoretically. Realistically, though, any day you choose for town meeting is going to be inclusive of some people and exclusive of other people. And realistically, our town meeting is mostly, not all, old timers, meaning, older people who are retired, civic minded liberal do-gooders like myself, with flexible schedules. So like, internet nerd type people who can do their internet job at some other time. And often whatever the population is where there's a thing coming up. So we have a lot of back and forth drama about our fire districts. So a lot of times there are also a lot of volunteer firefighters. And it's funny because they always sit in the back corner. And then like me and the sort of knitting liberal do-gooder nerds often sit in the front left corner. And then a lot of the kind of old timer retirees kind of sit in the front center, because so they can hear all the government people, like the people who are our select people, our elected representatives, the town manager, the finance manager, they sit in the front left. But you don't see the people with jobs. And that's a problem.
Here's reporter Amy Kolb-Noyes.
I'll tell you the story of Hyde Park, which is a town that I used to cover closely for the small local newspaper. And Hyde Park now holds their town meeting in an auditorium at the local high school. But back then, back in the day, as they say, they used to hold it at the gym at the elementary school. And they'd set up folding chairs all down the gym and with an aisle going down the middle. So there were chairs to the left, chairs to the right, and then a table in front of the stage where the select board sat, or during the school meeting, the school board would sit there. And it was completely divided down that middle line. To one side were all of the people who were born and raised in that town, and on the other side were all of the people who had moved in. And there was rarely anyone crossing that line. It was the most divided community I had ever seen. This was a town that was going through a teacher strike, leading up to a teacher strike, and then in the wake of the teacher strike. And those political lines were very much reflected in that type of demographic. So it was super, super interesting. And it wasn't until they moved the meeting to the high school with a auditorium set up, no line down the middle, that people started sort of sitting next to their neighbor.
Did that deliberation process extend for a long period of time compared to others you've seen, or how did that play out?
It did tend to be a long meeting. So I would say a short meeting in Vermont terms goes until lunch, and that one almost always came back after lunch.
Yeah, I suppose research on town meeting over the past 10 or 20 years has shown that there has been a decline in participation and attendance, and I'm wondering if you could talk about that and talk about what has changed attendance, what has changed participation, and what you might see for the future.
Sure.
This is Susan Clark again, author of Slow Democracy.
Frank Bryan, University of Vermont political science professor, did extraordinary research on town meetings across Vermont. Town meeting is notoriously hard to study because they kind of all happen around the same time. How are you going to study something? It's not just gathering numbers. So Professor Bryan did send students out and gathered some terrific data over 30 years. And he was able to make some important conclusions in his book, Real Democracy. One of them is town size matters a lot in terms of attendance and participation. The smaller the town in general, the higher per capita participation. And this is a really important finding for us because it tells us about scale and basically sort of an element of human nature that we might have not have realized, which is that our connection to place matters, and our relationship with each other affects our personal political power and our sense of efficacy. So people are more likely to participate if they are deciding on, you know, at scale. You know, here in New England, when we ask people to come and, you know, again, sit in a folding chair and for 4 hours and talk about the price of gravel with very little PR, you know, very little hype. It's just, you know, y'all come kind of thing. We see a lot of people willing to spend a lot of hours. But there is a decline, and part of that is people, you know, congregating in larger communities where they see their own relationship to power differently. So town size is a big factor. And are there important issues on the warning? Are we giving people real things to talk about? And that's what gets people, you know, a big surprise, you know. People really aren't going to waste their time talking about nothing, you know.
Reporter Amy Kolb-Noyce.
The big topic every year as town meeting comes around is town meeting dying? Because, you know, it doesn't fit into people's schedules anymore like it used to. We're not all farmers who don't have a lot to do in early March, right? So that's always a big question. How do we keep town meeting viable and relevant?
You're listening to Peace Talks Radio, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. I'm series producer Paul Ingalls, along with correspondent Sarah Holtz, who's taking us into the tradition of town meetings as a tool for community democracy and conflict resolution. And now we continue our conversation about this direct democracy and the New England town meeting. Here again, correspondent Sarah Holtz.
Peter Ashton, what has town meeting taught you about conflict resolution?
You know, it's interesting. I think compromise is real important. I think sense of humor is real important. And I think thinking about the common good is real important. And those are all things that happen at town meeting. The compromise part may actually not happen at town meeting. It may happen before in the lead up to town meeting. I've seen that happen a couple of times. I actually witnessed in another town compromise occur right on town meeting floor, which was pretty extraordinary. But there was a dispute over a land issue, and the disagreeing parties kind of went off to the side for about 10 minutes, and they came back and they worked a solution up, which is pretty remarkable, frankly. But I think that's the important part to me of town meeting is you know, trying to work through solutions, being able to come up with good ideas that are for the good of the town, and making sure that everybody understands that. They may disagree, but they got to live with one another on a day-to-day basis.
And I think it speaks to the nature of a small town.
Again, reporter Amy Kolb-Noyce.
These are people that you're going to fight with on the school budget. You're going to argue with about how much are my taxes going up and is it worth hiring another guy for the road crew? Well, yeah, my road has potholes all over it, but I don't want to pay for it. But then at the end of the day, in a small town, there's usually a town meeting lunch, and you're going to all sit down together, and you're going to have to say pass the beans to this person. So it's small town politics.
Middlesex, Vermont, town moderator Susan Clark.
People will say, local decision making, yeah, it sounds nice, but there are some arguments against it. And one of them is that it's not very efficient. You know, they'll say it's just so much faster if we could just make the decisions ourselves and not have to go out and ask people. What we're seeing really, really important, you know, data showing us that, in fact, the decisions that we make locally are more durable. There's more buy-in, there's less pushback, and it builds trust. So there's a real flip side to that, you know, quote-unquote efficiency. It can really slow you down at the end if you don't put in the time to engage people at the beginning. And similarly, a lot of people will say, well, you know, these are hard decisions. We need to base them on the experts and not, you know, just whoever walks in the door. And, you know, the flip side of that, of course, is that local decision-making really draws from local wisdom and local values. So everyone who lives in this community has a story that is unique and that can add to a much more well-rounded decision. So, you know, Francis Moore-LePay says experts should be on tap, but not on top. I really like that thought that, you know, yes, we're not trying to shut off any expert engagement, but who are the leaders in a democracy? You know, it needs to be we the people. So I think that's an important one. And then I just, you know, the idea that it's easier to manage and easy to administer when we don't engage people is probably true, but where are leaders going to come from if not from local training? Local leadership skills are going to make us more effective in emergencies. We're seeing more and more things like, you know, floods and wildfires and all of these weather-related emergencies. We can't turn to government to fix these things. We need to help each other. And Vermonters certainly have shown real resilience in these situations of floods and things because we're used to being a leader. You know, each individual has their own organizing and leadership skills that they have built on over the decades. So I think that there's need for this going into the future that we're facing as well.
Susan Clark there, and here now Jessamine West, Randolph Town Justice of the Peace, followed by reporter Amy Kolb-Noyce and Peter Ashton of Acton, Massachusetts.
All it is run by people, right? Like, I think it's in bigger cities, larger towns, I think a lot of people are really removed from how their government operates. So it's pretty easy to be like, well, it's us over here just dealing with their policies and them, the people who make the rules. And realistically, it's all kind of one system.
It's hard sometimes to get to a meeting. People have lives, people have jobs. But for the people who do make the effort to go, it's incredibly rewarding to be in on the ground floor of democracy.
Certain people, you know, we have certain people who always get up and speak at town meeting, and you can usually predict what they're going to say. But that's okay. And, you know, people, you know, as long as people respect that and respect differing opinions, I think in the end, it actually works out really well.
Susan Clark, author of Slow Democracy.
People might think that town meeting is a relic. They might think that's this old-fashioned thing. And we don't need that anymore. And I think that we need to be careful because local control isn't really old-fashioned. It's really in keeping with our postmodern democratic sensibilities. I mean, our expectations as citizens have dramatically changed since the internet. And we are not, as citizens, more likely to sort of, you know, look to the leaders and, you know, as you know, sort of that kind of 1950s command and control model where, you know, just tell us what to do and you're the experts. And that's not us. That's not us as Americans anymore. We are much more, and millennials and anyone who's grew up with the internet is going to, you know, I've seen it happen at meetings that, you know, an expert will stand up in the front and say something and somebody else will hold up their phone and they say, that's not what I just found out, you know, and challenge people that way. And so a model of governance that is much more not like a hierarchical top-down process and more like a wiki, you know, where we're really bringing in the wisdom and energy of people who are interested and engaged and living it is much more in keeping with our with today's system. And that is what a town meeting is. You know, for all of its old-fashioned apple pie flannel shirt, you know, imagery that you might have, this is folks coming together to put their best minds together and really make things happen. So it's a very modern model, and it's being used as a model in deliberative democracy across the world now.
I'd like to ask you kind of a broad strokes question that Frank Bryan poses in his book, which is, how does town meeting contribute to civic capability?
Yeah, great question. How does town meeting help enrich us as citizens? How does it make us better? I think Frank Bryan calls it small d Democrats, right? Yeah, I think there are a number of ways. One of them is this sense of understanding that we are part of a community and really seeing the impact. When you attend and participate, you can actually, you know, feel the thread that you are in that tapestry. You can feel the tugs and you can see how you're enmeshed. And we know from actually really interesting research now on deliberation that people are changed by an empowered deliberation. We see it in jury duty research, for example. When I have been involved in a deliberation where I know that my decision is binding, you know, I'm not just giving my advice to some board somewhere. I'm not just sounding off. We are making binding decisions at the end of our meetings about, you know, is this the budget we want for this year? Yes or no? All those in favor say aye. In terms of our democracy today in the United States, you know, many people have argued that it's at risk and they wonder what we can do from the top down to fix it. My argument would be we need to do this from the bottom up. We need to do this with our neighbors together. This is the roots, this is the oxygen of our democracy, are these local decision-making processes on things where we can see neighbor to neighbor what impact we play in that democracy.
Thanks to Susan Clark, author of the book Slow Democracy, who is also town moderator for the town of Middlesex, Vermont. And thanks to our other guests, Peter Ashton, former town moderator of Acton, Massachusetts, Randolph Town Justice of the Peace, Jessamine West, and public radio journalist Amy Kolb-Noyes. For Peace Talks Radio, I'm Sarah Holtz.
To hear an hour-long version of our program and full interviews with all of our guests, go to our website, peacetalksradio.com, and click to the November 2019 episode. That's peacetalksradio.com, where you can go to hear all the programs in our series dating back to 2002. See photos of our guests, read and share transcripts, sign up for our podcast, order CDs, and make a donation to keep this program going into the future, all at peacetalksradio.com. Support comes from listeners like you, like Betsy Christensen, who donated in memory of her parents, John and Audrey. From chiropractor Ruben Ramirez of Spinal Health and Movement Center in Albuquerque's Knob Hill neighborhood. Support also comes from the Albuquerque Community Foundation Tides Fund, and KUNM at the University of New Mexico. Nola Daves Moses is our executive director. Allie Adelman composed and performs our theme music. For Sarah Holtz, I'm Paul Ingalls. Thanks so much for listening to and for supporting Peace Talks Radio.
WCLP 96.7 FM Detroit.
Ladies and gentlemen, and all the lovers around the world, I want to talk about the one I love. I know a lot of times we forget how they take good care of you, but tonight I just want to express the way I feel. Oh baby, funny how things have changed in my life now. Whether near or far, I wanna be where you are. And you're like a rose that blooms in my garden, innocent and sweet, my love, you are. But one thing I know, girl, loving, loving who?
Place to be, just you.